The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Here on what kind of feels like a Wednesday, but it isn't Wednesday, it's Thursday, because of the shortened work week. Anyway, we're coming to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, getting ready for a very hot weekend. We'll be close, I think, to a record high probably on Sunday. I think we may get up to about 108, 109, which will be if not the record, but very close to the record of the high temperature for the day. Anyway, a very full program as usual. We try to give you as much content in 1 hour as humanly possible. We're going to start off with Ward 3, Tucson City Councilman Democrat Paul Durham. Paul, how are you?
Good, Bill. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Last year at this time, you were out walking the streets. Aren't you glad you don't have to be out there gathering signatures?
You know, I kind of miss it. I really liked talking with people one-on-one at their front door, and I got a charge out of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet if you were going door-to-door right now and talking to people, they would probably, I'm just guessing that police staffing would be right near the top of the list of their concerns.
Yes. I hear a lot about that. And that's why we took action at the last meeting to address the shortage of officers on the street. We did that. I voted yes on three actions to address our shortage of officers.
What are those actions?
I voted to authorize the training and hiring of 110 new officers in the next fiscal year, the 2019 fiscal year that starts July 1. I voted to approve a 2.5% salary increase effective as soon as possible, and the plan is to follow that with another 2% increase next January 1.
So bumping it to just below 5%?
Right, 4.5 total, okay. a little mm-hmm. more than that. Mm-hmm. And I also backed a plan to target about 400 officers with a separate 5% increase. These are the 400 officers most in the range of people we're losing that we shouldn't lose.
People who would be typically recruited after they'd done their training and some service with Tucson Police by other jurisdictions.
Every time such an officer leaves the TPD, it's thousands of dollars walking out the door. Other jurisdictions pay a signing bonus if you're a woman or a minority. So we do a pretty good job of recruiting a diverse cross section of police officers, but we often lose them to other jurisdictions.
After just a few years, right?
Yeah. It starts at about 3 years, okay, and goes up to just short of the top okay. rank. Chief Magnus developed a target group that he thought was most in danger of losing them. And we targeted 5% additional raise on top of the other raises.
So that's just under 10% raise, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The 4.5% plus 5.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And then in addition, the There was a significant increase in the medical insurance premium. Instead of splitting that between the city and the employee, the city covered the full cost of that. So there's no increase in insurance premium for the employee. And that's true citywide, and including TPD.
All right. Let me ask you directly, because I hear these rumblings that the chief is not popular among the rank and file. Let me ask you, I mean, you can't obviously read the minds of every police officer, but you can get a gauge, because you sit on the city council. How does the city council feel about Chief Magnus?
I think to a person, the city council feels that he is doing a very good job. He is willing to think outside the box. He thinks creatively. He solves problems. And sometimes solving problems involves change. And many people resist change. And I think the types of solutions he is coming up with are ones we need if we are going to, you know, the proverbial make do, get by with less, mm-hmm. get more out of fewer dollars. Mm-hmm. He is coming up with ways to do that. For example, he is supporting, and the council again approved a significant increase in the number of community service officers, CSOs. Those don't carry a gun. Mm-hmm. But they function in many ways to replace an officer who is a sworn officer mm-hmm. who does carry a gun. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, the pay for CSOs is lower than for sworn officers. Mm-hmm. We extend the resources. We make money go farther.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen the list, and many of our listeners probably already have seen the list of traditionally calls that police would answer. They are not answering because of the staffing situation. How do you respond to that? I mean, people are a little concerned about that. Maybe not just a little concerned, but really concerned.
And they should be. Uh-huh. We don't have enough officers, mm-hmm. period. There's no question. We're trying to recover from that. For example, we lose about 8 officers a month, and we should lose for normal reasons, a retirement, life changes, other things, about 6 officers a month. So that's 24 officers that we lose that we should not lose, and we are addressing that with these salary increases, with these approvals of hiring additional officers, and we need more officers. There's no question about it. Until we get them, and these changes won't solve the problem overnight, but until we get them, we have to prioritize. If somebody's got a gun to my head, I want an officer right there.
Of course.
And but if a car has been broken into, mm-hmm. and the thief is gone, mm-hmm. You know, that's not the same threatening situation. So, of course, the police departments prioritize. That's what they do.
And of course, that's a very big deal to the person whose car has been broken into,
right,
or home
right.
burglarized. So let me ask you, you mentioned about the community resource officers. Those folks, will they, until this staffing situation gets all sorted out with the sworn officers, can they perhaps answer some of these calls that were traditionally officered?
Yes, definitely. They will, for example, address the car break-in, the home burglary.
Home burglary.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break right here. 790-2040. If you have a question or a comment for Tucson City Councilman Paul Durham, coming up at 12:30, the state's number two elected official, very serendipitous to have her with us today because yesterday was filing deadline for the state offices and lots of other offices as well. So we'll talk with Michelle Reagan. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve, the owner there, and his wife Sherry, they do such a lovely job with all those baked goods are so tempting. Let's put it that way. And the bread that you will have your sandwich on at Mona's came out of the oven just usually a couple of hours earlier. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. There's also a link to all of the fine partners that we have on this program that I am so very proud of that support our work. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Tucson's Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. Joining me in talking with the mayor, Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star, Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business, has Weekend Watch, noon to 1 on Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, pushing toward 12:19 on this Thursday afternoon, the final day of May, May 31st. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. He would like to speak with Tucson City Councilman Paul Durham. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, hey, Councilman Durham, first of all, thank you for what you and the council are doing. I know it's a hard job. Obviously, as a follow-up on what Bill was asking, because I think crime is the thing that you guys need to keep your eye on the ball, and I think you are. As a follow-up to that, as ancillary to that, is what are we doing with the city court system? I think I ran across Judge Pollard out there at an event, and he wasn't sure, is the courts going to co-locate with the county? Have you guys worked that out with the city manager, or have you found another alternative plan? I'd be curious to hear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew, for the question. It's a good one. It's a hot topic. I have met with all of the city court, city specialty court judges, and I'm going to meet with the remaining city court judges as well. And the short answer to your question is we are still studying it. Some combination of co-location and consolidation is likely. We've got the city manager working on figuring out the best way.
But you think some action's going to come down on that?
I think at least systems and support staff
sharing,
could be shared, mm-hmm. and there are some savings there as well. One of the things that I most insist on is that the city specialty courts are examples of outstanding examples of specialty courts in the country, and we must preserve the things that allow them to succeed and be excellent. And so I've studied that.
And you have a legal background. You're an attorney, I believe, aren't you?
Yes, yes. And I asked each of the specialty court judges when I met with them, mm-hmm. why do you excel? Why do you, what conditions are there that make it so you're nationally known as doing an excellent job? And I've got those answers, and I'm going to insist on that we preserve those conditions.
Let's talk a little bit about the golf course situation. Two of the five courses being perhaps earmarked for change. Is change in the wind when it comes to golf?
Oh yeah. The fact is that as we were discussing earlier, that the number of rounds of golf is down.
Yeah.
Fewer people play golf, and so that creates some challenges. However, it's important to note that golf makes money for Tucson. It just doesn't make enough money. It doesn't cover its capital needs, and so we need to address that, and I've got some ideas there. In fact, we turn a small profit on golf.
What are the two courses in question?
Silver Bell and Fred Enck, I believe, mm-hmm. are the two. But I think we can make changes there. One of the things that I approved increases in reclaimed water rates only for 2 years. It was on the agenda for four, and we said let's go with 2.5% a year for the next 2 years, and we'll study ways to reduce the water costs and to find alternatives to increasing those rates. Look, I don't think we should sell any city golf courses. Golf is a valuable asset to the city. It's attractive for tourism and recreation for our community. And the city courses provide a golf for the middle class, mm-hmm. if you will. They're less expensive than private resort courses. And so I believe it's important to preserve the option of golf, value-priced golf.
But perhaps making the two courses in question into some kind of park space.
No, I think they can continue to be operated as golf courses.
Okay.
We can make some changes, for example. As we redesign golf courses, as we update them, we can introduce more desert vegetation, less turf to save water. Water is the second expense after staff.
Especially when we're in an 18-year drought, as my friend Tim Steller pointed out in his column yesterday,
right,
that the city needs to really take a look at what's going to be coming up here with water. It's
right.
It's a huge issue. Let's go back to the live line. Jim has called us, our friend Jim Kelly. Jim, you're with Councilman Paul Durham. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Councilman. Would the city council consider giving up its interests in SunTran and SunLink and just handing it all over to the RTA?
Okay. I don't think so.
Why not?
I think the city can... I'm concerned that RTA doesn't always put Tucson's interests first. That's natural, I guess, because they're serving a number of constituencies. I think I want SunTran and SunVan and SunLink to serve Tucson residents first.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the bridges. That's that development over by I-10. There's been a zoning change that might really, put a fire under getting some stuff going over there at the bridges.
So at the last meeting, we approved a revision to the planned area development zoning for the bridges area. It was necessary to support the building of the new GEICO headquarters. GEICO has outgrown their current location at Speedway and Kolb. They were shopping around for new space. They were even considering leaving Tucson and taking 2,000 jobs with them.
Hmm.
That was unacceptable to the council, of course. We worked with them. They decided to build a brand new building at the bridges and add 700 new jobs in the next few years. So that's a significant job growth. We also revised the zoning for the residential areas of the bridges. The residential areas, by the way, where nothing has been built.
Right.
I think that the construction is definitely going to happen there now as a result of the change we made.
So this change opens the door to perhaps some speedy development, hopefully speedy development.
Yes,
because that area right now, there's really limited what's been going on there, limited activity, to put it nicely.
Yes, there's been some commercial development there in the commercial areas, mm-hmm. but no residential. I think we're likely to see over 300 residential units on the residential portion of the bridges, and that's going to help significantly with, people nowadays like to live and shop and where they work, and all three combinations together, this will allow that kind of development.
We only have about a minute left. This particular budget plan for the next fiscal year, are you pleased with it?
Yes.
The spending package?
Yes. I am very much. We still don't have enough money. Our expenses are growing faster than our revenues. Our revenues are growing, but expenses are growing faster. We're trying to catch up, and I believe we're on the way to doing that.
Well, it's good news. I go away on vacation and I come back. Country Club has been paved. Hallelujah. I can't believe it. Every time I've been driving down Country Club, I'm saying, oh my goodness, when is this going to be paved? I go away for about 11 days. I come back. Looks pretty darn good.
They're supposed to finish the last portion north of Fort Lowell today.
Well, that's music to my ears.
It was incredibly fast, wasn't
Whoa,
it?
Whoa, it really was. Okay, Paul Durham, thank you very much. If people have any constituent questions, the Ward 3 office is open and ready for business, correct?
Please call the office anytime.
You want to give us a number? Or,
yeah.
Our website?
791-1511.
Or just Google it.
And you can Google Ward 3, City of Tucson, Ward 3, and we'll also communicate by email at ward3@tucsonaz.gov.
Thanks a lot. Paul Durham with us. Coming up next, Secretary of State Michelle Reagan will join us. We have so many issues to talk with her about right after we take our mid-show break on Buckmaster Thursday edition. By the way, tomorrow, City Mayor Jonathan Rothschild will be with us. We'll continue our discussion about this police staffing situation. Hear from the mayor on that after this. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. On the other side of the glass, the super duper, is he an intern or is he? Yes, he's still an intern. Efren, got it right. It's good to see his smiling face. He was with us a couple of months ago, did the show, and did a really fine job. Some exciting news from our wonderful sponsor, Green Things. Zocalo at 2924 East Broadway, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway, is moving soon to a new location on 13 acres, the Green Things site. They're going to be moving over there to Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, with all that great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Well, maybe not all of it, because this is our opportunity for our listeners to buy some of that wonderful merchandise at a drastically reduced price before they move it all. So check out Zocalo, corner of Country Club and Broadway. Michelle Reagan is the Secretary of State for the state of Arizona. She is joining us now on the live line. Madam Secretary of State, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. Back in the saddle after 11 days in the Bahamas. I mean, how do you beat that?
That's so fantastic. And I was so glad that you got a chance to get away and relax a little
bit. Well, thank you very much. It's very serendipitous to have you on today, because yesterday was a very important day in your office and for the state of Arizona. It was pretty much the filing deadline, wasn't it?
It was not pretty much.
It was. Yeah, you filed by.
Don't leave any openings there for anybody.
Was it like 6 p.m. or midnight or what?
Our election staff was so amazing. They actually worked all day on Memorial Day and mm-hmm. also on that Sunday mm-hmm. before. So they got quite a few people, that wanted to file, even though it was a state holiday, and so they. It was very consistently busy. Is that a good way to put it?
There you go. Yesterday was also the unofficial date for averting a special election for Senator John McCain's seat this year. Could you kind of bring us up to date on all of that? There's so many confusing reports about where we are in this whole situation.
Yeah, and this is so hard to talk about. And so I like to always tread lightly, and we're mm-hmm. just talking about the specifics of an election here.
Right.
So basically the date that we wanted to have get behind us was May 30th, because May 30th is the deadline for all the candidates to file. So if you're going to be on the ballot, you need to be filed by May 30th. And so it kind of removes a lot of the question about there is no second U.S. Senate seat on this ballot.
Mm-hmm. And so if the governor does have to appoint someone, that individual would serve until 2020? Is that what you understand?
Correct. So okay. What would happen is the governor would appoint someone to fill that Senate vacancy. And obviously, as you know, there's not a vacancy right now. So,
of course not.
And the person, whoever is appointed, if they wanted to keep the seat, would have to run at the next available primary and general election. So in this case, that'd be 2020. Mm-hmm. And they would only be running for a two-year seat, because, of course, we like to keep we have to keep the Senate seats staggered. So it wouldn't be that they wouldn't be running for a six-year term. They would just be running for the remainder of McCain's term.
Okay, so now your website at the Secretary of State for all of the state offices and really all the filing, when will the information be available for folks to see who is officially in all of the races?
Well, everybody should be up now.
Okay.
And that is a great, a wonderful website that we put together. It's called Arizona.vote.
Okay. I'll be taking a look at that to figure out who the candidates are. I'll tell you.
So at Arizona.vote, you can go on, you could pull up a candidate list, you can pull up what's called their candidate portal. So you're able to see whatever they've posted. So we've created a system where they can, the candidates get on and they can post their bio, they can post their photograph, we post their financials there, we post their campaign finance reports there. So it's kind of a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, it's pretty funny, somebody came in and filed at like 10 o'clock and then I think it was about 11 o'clock. They said, how come it's not in the portal? Well, okay, you got to give our scanners some time to get all, you know, however many, 300, 400 pages scanned and up there. But at any rate, so this is a great website. It's available in, it's cell phone ready as well, so mobile friendly and different languages, and it gets thousands and thousands of hits a month. People love this website.
So now the folks can challenge, I guess, a name being on the ballot. I don't know how long they have to do that. I guess they can challenge.
June 13th.
Oh, I did not know that. Now
yeah.
I do. Okay, so they could challenge signatures, I guess, validity of signatures.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what's interesting about this filing, the way we do it now is, prior to this new system that we put in, if somebody wanted to challenge someone or even check their signatures, you'd have to come and grab boxes and boxes of paper from here. And I think we even charged you 15 cents a copy. But now you can request all this information online and it'll be electronically sent to you, because keep in mind we're scanning it all now. And part of that is to make it easier for people who want to look at other people's petitions, see if there's a potential challenge there, that kind of stuff. So we've tried to put as much of it online as possible. It goes a lot quicker than for people. And we've probably got lots of people that are requesting other people's signatures right now.
I bet. I did not
realize. So I'd be paying people the old way.
Yeah.
I'd be paying people right now to sit at a copy machine.
Well, I did not realize it comes up so quickly that deadline is now just really a couple of weeks away for the challenge. Well, speaking of signatures, we have not talked about initiatives and the ballot measures. What is the situation there?
Well, ballot measures, they're not due until later this summer to see if, you know, if something is on the ballot. But in order for people to start circulating, they come in here and they file what they're going to be circulating. So we know there's a lot of things out there being circulated right now. Probably the biggest one that people have been talking about is this energy that has to do with solar energy and having electric companies have to have so much of their energy from renewable or solar energy by a certain date. So we always tell people, make sure that if somebody comes up to you and wants you to sign something, make sure you know which one you're signing, because there's also some out there for legalizing all drugs, not just marijuana, but heroin too.
Really?
Yes. So somebody came and opened that, and they still may be circulating, getting signatures. We're not sure.
Can folks sign more than once for initiatives or what? Not for the same one, obviously.
Not for the same one, but sure, you can sign as many initiatives as you want, as long as they're different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, but why the controversy now over this solar initiative? What's going on there?
Well, I think just from listening to both sides of it, I'll give you both sides.
Okay.
Your listeners can make up their minds. So, should we be mandating that power companies provide so much of their energy by renewable resources? And then do we want whatever that magic number is, let's say it's 20%, 30%, 50%, whatever the number is, do we want that codified in a law that basically the legislature or nobody can go and change? Because once the people vote on something, then that's it. It's very, very hard for there to even be changes, even if, like we saw with the minimum wage, even if there's unforeseen things that come up afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's some people that would say, well, you know, heck yes, they should be doing as much as they can, and we as voters are going to force them to do it. I'll tell you what I personally have a problem with, and this
is that?
Secretary of State this is Michelle. Mm-hmm. The initiative process, the initiative or the right to put something on the ballot is a wonderful tool that was put in place in our Constitution, and it was meant for Arizona citizens to be able to petition their government and change their own laws. What we've seen over the last couple of years, and not just with this one, what we've seen over the last couple of election cycles is these are not people from Arizona that are interested in getting it passed. So they're not like, they're outside interest groups that may have their own
agenda.
Yeah. And they're coming in here and they bring a bunch of circulators in and they, you know, go and get signatures and put it on the ballot, but they don't necessarily have to live with the consequences, good or bad, mm-hmm. of what they're putting on the ballot. That's what I have a problem with, and that's becoming more and more prevalent. So this was, you know, this is an idea from out of state. It's not something that Arizonans rose up and wanted to put this on their ballot.
Now, there was talk at the legislature about changing the way the initiative process is done, that each county would have to weigh in on a statewide initiative with signatures from each of the counties. Did anything ever come of that?
Oh, yes, actually. That actually is not law.
Oh, okay.
And so you can get all your signatures from one place. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be that even candidates had to go and get qualified in a certain number of districts, and the thought was is then that way, you know, the great state of Maricopa isn't making all the decisions, mm-hmm. or somebody just can't get signatures, let's say, in Tucson and then have it apply statewide. If a law was going to apply statewide or a candidate was going to be running statewide, then they should get signatures in multiple counties. So that that actually was challenged in court and did not survive. So you can, and then somebody thought, well, maybe we'll change it to districts.
Right.
The court only ruled on counties, but they didn't rule on districts. So I'm pretty sure that would probably go the same way, too.
Why don't we talk about cybersecurity after we hear from our great lineup of Buckmaster Show supporters? Is that okay?
Oh, fantastic.
All right, stick around. Secretary of State Michelle Reagan with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. And a very good, I might add, very clear Live Line connection that we have from the state capitol. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ten minutes now toward 1 o'clock on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday afternoon edition. We talked at the beginning of the program how hot it is going to be this weekend, and that means road trip time to cooler weather, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We always like to say it's 10 to 15 degrees cooler there, and that's about right. I mean, it's about 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation, so visit southwestnewmexico.org. It's only a 3-hour drive from Tucson over there at southwestnewmexico.org. You'll see the complete listing of the many great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go back to the live line. Michelle Reagan is with us. Secretary of State, State of Arizona, we have a call. We will take Donna, who would like to speak with the Madam Secretary of State. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Michelle. The website that you have is for the candidates. Is that the final, or do you have any more to add?
You know what? And I can go check. They may be adding things still today. So I know that the last entries I saw were from like 11 o'clock last night. So they probably still have a few more to put up there. And
okay.
What I will do is it would be nice if we put some sort of banner or something on there. So, you know, this
yeah,
is the
final edition or something.
Yeah, and that's a good idea. So
it
I'm glad that you called in.
All right. Thank you, Donna. We have a Facebook question. The question comes from David. Why can't we sign petitions online, which this particular David likes that very much, but we still can't vote online? How about that one for you, Michelle Reagan?
Yeah, well, voting online may someday be the inevitability in all states, but right now it is not. Nobody has proven it to be secure enough yet. In addition, Arizona has a law that says that every vote cast must have a paper audit trail that it's attached to. So even if you're at the polling place and you're voting on one of those touchscreen machines, there's still a ticker tape that's being printed that is recording your choices, and those are kept for a certain number of years as prescribed by law. So no state is doing internet voting yet. I'm pretty sure that Somebody will figure it out someday and be able to make it secure enough, but right now none of the vendors have come in with anything that can't be hacked.
Well, that is a perfect segue into our next topic with Michelle Reagan, and that is cybersecurity. How do we know that our election is going to be secure?
Well, so we know the vote is going to be secure in Arizona and in, again, almost every state. I haven't found any states that do it this differently, where the machines that people actually vote on or the machines that are actually counting the ballots and tabulating the vote, those aren't hooked up to the internet. And so those, they're electric and they plug into a wall, but it's awfully hard to hack something that isn't plugged into a phone line. Now, that's not to say it can't happen, but there's, again, a lot of safeguards that once people find out about, it makes them feel pretty secure. And that is, for instance, those chips that are in the back of the cards, or the cards that are in the back of the machines, they're actually hand transported over to county after the polls are closed, and nobody from no two people from the same party are able to accompany those cards at the same time. So same thing with the ballot drop-off boxes. When those are being brought into county, there's always people of opposing parties who are accompanying those ballots. And so there's all sorts of laws that are already in place that, quite frankly, you know, most people don't know that we have them, and that's okay. But it's our job to make sure that they're being implemented.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, sooner or later, there's going to be a state that's probably going to try online online voting. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, sure. I mean, look at the world we live in. I mean, did you ever think there'd be self-driving cars even 3 years ago?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just a lot of hesitancy because of the fact that we did just experience in many states foreign entities trying to get into our elections databases. And I always like to, Bill, when I mention that, I always like to make sure I'm pointing out, I'm talking about the registration databases,
mm-hmm.
So the places where all the online system where all of our voter information is kept. That's very different than what we call the tabulation systems, which are the machines that actually count the votes. So those are two completely different systems. One's not online, but the registration system is online. So, you know, we always think if you really wanted to mess up an election, changing people's information or deleting information, that could do it.
Yeah.
So those systems are always being probed and scanned by people or other bots or whatever you want to call them.
Machines.
Those are like hackers' dreams. And so take a guess, Bill, how many times a month they detect something on those systems. And it could just be somebody trying to get in that gets denied.
I'd say 10, 15, 20,000.
Yeah, 70.
70,000. Unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
It really
is
crazy.
That's how big this problem is. And so we're not ready for internet voting yet till we can make sure those are... We're blocking all of the bad.
Hard to believe June 1st tomorrow. We've got some we have.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't early voting start August 1st?
Early voting starts August 1st, yeah. So basically 2 months from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
It is. So this is going to be a real intense campaign period now for the next 2 to 3 months. This is it. It's for the primaries anyway. And you've got your primary too as well.
I am. Yes, of course. That keeps you on your toes, keeps you honest. So yes, I have a primary challenger, and then God willing, we'll be in the general. Which can you believe? I mean, that comes
can't
up so fast.
Can't believe it. As I recall,
it's almost going to be Christmas.
I know you're almost half over. My big vacation for the year is over. I mean, what do I do this summer?
Exactly. Oh yes, exactly. Well, you know, you can get in the car and
drive to the Capitol and visit the Secretary of State's wonderful museum at the Capitol.
You can try to get to the ocean.
Yeah. Or something like that. Are you still the president of the Lieutenant Governors Association?
I'm on the board of the Lieutenant Governor Association. So I represent the Western states. Of course, Arizona is one of those. And that that's been a real joy just to get to know and get to work with all of the lieutenant governors And a lot of them are going to be governors this time around. So I didn't realize that. I never thought in my life that I would know, you know, personally know probably 20 of the governors.
Wow.
That's kind of cool, huh?
It really is. Okay, Michelle Reagan, what are you going to do this summer? Probably not take a vacation because this is your busy time of year, obviously.
Yes. You know what? We're going to do, obviously, campaigning. I love campaigning. Uh-huh. I love being out and traveling the state. Uh-huh. But I am going to have to take a little bit of time off because we've been going for about 2.5 years now.
Yeah, time for a getaway. It really does refresh you.
Yes.
If it's the right location, for sure. All right, Michelle Reagan, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot. The Secretary of State of the state of Arizona, the number two elected official. We don't have a lieutenant governor, but we have a number two official. So that means de facto lieutenant governor is Michelle Reagan. All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We have Mike Shaw's show from 4 to 6 this afternoon and Jonathan Hoffman, conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, will be sitting in for Mike. As Mike, of course, came back yesterday, had a little health scare. He's doing well, but a little fine-tuning to his health today. Jonathan will take over. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow from 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, with the mayor tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview. And Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star is going to be with me for that. Efren, thank you very much for your assistance today on the other side of the glass. On behalf of all of us here at KVOI, have a great afternoon.